I think you'd like John Hiatt, Bob. You seem to be bobbing your head over there.
It has a catchy tune to it, yes.
I saw him live at the Rosebud when he was in Pittsburgh a long time ago. I'm not going to tell the story of my blind date that night because Sean Gentile has heard this story too many times. Bob, what are you doing, banking?
Is Sean Gentile on the line?
No.
Oh. So
banking? Just because I put glasses on, you accuse me of being a banker?
No, you're tapping the phone a lot, and it's making me nervous today. You seem to be tapping with an unusual urgency.
You guys are on two computers. I don't have a computer in front of me.
Are you looking up draft material?
No. You hear that? That's not me.
That's Paul on his computer.
Yes.
Listen, this is all relative.
I was actually just finishing up my Zeiss planner.
I'm getting everybody in the office Mackie planners this year. Ron's going to get a senior citizen Mackie planner all the way in Florida. They're going around, Bob. Did you hear of this?
No.
The Mackie planner. Do you want one for Christmas? Huh? You're making me nervous, Bob. You really are.
You're just
making me nervous today. I'm not sure why. Did you play golf this weekend?
No, I worked every day. We had draft specials and, you know, normal Sunday stuff. So, no, I didn't play. I want to play.
You said you had a hell of a day at Sewickley Heights last week, didn't you?
We did. We did. My two nephews and Nathan Smith, who's a very good golfer, is going to captain the Walker Cup team next year.
What'd he shoot there?
74, I think.
Oh, my God.
But also, he doesn't play nearly as much, obviously, in his amateur days when he was just dominant, played in three Masters.
Really, I couldn't get the ball out of the rough. It's 4.5 inches high because
they have a qualifier coming up there.
The starter said, just hack it back onto the fairway. So, of course, I tried to do a shot, and it didn't go anywhere.
You can't get through. You have to have the strongest hands and the just perfect contact to get that stuff out of there.
Do you know Dan Borecki? He's a member there. He invited me to play, but he gave me his wrong cell phone, so I spent the whole weekend texting some unknown person things about golf. It's unbelievable.
That person has now reported you for
for harassment, you know, or something.
I played yesterday, and I have these cracked ribs. So
you played with cracked ribs. You're not going to make them any better.
He saw me. So I have this.
He had a great day driving.
I have this band that I put around my. Which is what they told me, a compression thing. But I played yesterday at what I think is one of the most beautiful courses in Western PA, and that's Latrobe Country Club.
Latrobe's great.
It's
history. Too.
It's the history there is amazing.
Tree lined though. That's not today's golf course.
It's what I mean. It's one of the golf courses that hasn't gone the direction of like these new courses that cut down all the trees and everybody. It seems like the direction is to try almost to go sort of link style with a lot of these courses where you cut down all the trees and and that's okay. But boy, that course is just beautiful. And every hole is so picturesque. And it's just, it was fun. And actually, you know what? For the second day in a row with cracked ribs, and they're healing. It's just, it takes forever. I actually hit the ball reasonably. I was sore, but I actually hit the ball reasonably well.
You can't possibly swing right when your mind's telling you my ribs are cracked.
I think he's taking a little off and it's helping him.
Maybe,
I'll be honest
maybe that's
with you
true.
About
maybe.
That.
So you can't swing as violently.
Yeah, yeah. I have that band around my ribs actually helps, but I was saying this the other day, Bob. If you go, say, like, I don't know, 3 miles or three or 4 miles past Latrobe airport, mm-hmm, on Route 30, mm-hmm, and you put like a post there, and you said within 5 mile radius here, the five golf courses, Latrobe, Ligonier Valley, Laurel Valley, Rolling Rock, and Champion Lakes.
Champion Lakes is down the road on 7-Eleven.
Can you come up with a 5 mile radius anywhere else in Western PA,
yes,
where you could come up with five better golf courses than that?
Well, yes. That's not to take anything away from those golf courses, but if you go out Route 28,
okay,
all right, you have Longview.
Okay,
you have the Field Club. You have Fox Chapel and Oakmont. all within 6 miles.
Holy bird milk.
Oh, and you got green...
green oaks, too.
And green oaks. I didn't even think about that. That's actually a really good point.
But
and
no, but that for in the Ligonier area, that's terrific. You can play those courses and have a wonderful time.
I mean, I'm just saying, those courses are, you know... And the only one I haven't played is Rolling Rock, but I've heard that's an incredible course, too. Have you played there?
Yeah, but it's hard to get on there.
Yeah, it's very hard. I mean,
you can get us on, Bob.
No,
you know you can. Ligonier is absolutely in Crankulan.
I love Ligonier. That's a great. That's a beautiful.
Laurel is just. There's nothing better. You know,
I mean,
as far as an entertainment opportunity for people. It's
plus, there's that's another place with a history.
Oh, you know, it's all alone. It's just you're in a different world out there.
Right.
That's what I love about.
There's that. I mean, Oakmont. The history there is.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, like, you know, like
it's a different kind of history.
Exactly. You walk into the clubhouse and you walk down that up and down those hallways and stuff. And they,
all the championship trophies and all the things that have been there. Now, next year is going to be the U.S. Open here. So
right.
I'm pumped for that. That course is hard.
Oh, man. At Swickley the other day, people watch me on the first tee and I just choked like a dog.
You dog, you.
Yeah.
Well, that's because you were thinking of the people on the porch instead of just concentrating on your swing.
I know. I'm quitting.
Which?
How are you going to play with 66 if you're that intimidated, you're never going to be able to play with him.
I can't, and I'm quitting.
I'll tell you what's nice, though, is when you know somebody's watching and you hit a dime.
It is nice.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's when you want to pose and then look to see if they're looking.
You hit a dime like that, you know, it's
then you get a pose, yeah.
Got a pose.
Charles Woodson Heisman pose after that, right? Listen, this draft is all relative. To what your quarterbacks are like, first of all, and also to the division in the conference that you're in. So I think the Steelers are a better team than they were when we last saw them in Buffalo. You know, health, obviously, but you know what I mean, roster-wise. And I would say at least they're trying at quarterback. And I really admire that. I do. And I commend them for it. Doesn't mean it's going to work, though. Doesn't mean it's going to work in a division with Lamar and Burrow and a conference with those two and Mahomes and Allen and Herbert and Rodgers and all those other guys. Doesn't mean it's going to work. At least they're trying, and they're building around the quarterback position, I think. But let's take a look at the division, okay? And I would say... Let's just give an arrow up or an arrow down for these teams, and I'll give you a little update because I know I had to sort of brush up on what's happened in the offseason. Let's start with your Baltimore Ravens, okay? They lost. You ready for this, Paul? Geno Stone and his 7 interceptions to Cincinnati. They lost Patrick Queen. They lost both starting guards, Simpson and Zeitler. They lost Jadeveon Clowney. Who have they added, you ask? Well, Bob, I have some answers for you. They added Derrick Henry.
Big ad right there, I think.
And, of course, they drafted Wiggins, so I think steps right in. And they're hoping that Rosengarten, their second-round pick, steps in as tackle. But I will tell you from last year, and the arrow thing is from last year, the arrow's down for the Ravens, in my not-so-humble opinion. You guys agree?
Yes.
No.
Mm.
I think they are a team. I think that first of all, they have the most dynamic playmaker at the most important position in the division.
Yeah, but he can't get over the hump in the postseason. That's the thing.
But I'm talking about, I mean, we're talking about regular season right now, right?
Mm-hmm. We are, but if just so long as you know what I mean, the arrow is either even or up from last year on the Ravens, so you think they're going to win 13 or more?
Well, I think they're going to win 11 or more. So I guess I say it's down.
A little bit down.
A little bit down, but I still think they're going to win 11 or 12 games.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not saying they're a bad team. I'm just saying they're not going to be as good.
They're 13 wins. What'd they have? What were they, 13-4 last year?
Yeah,
they had a couple games where the ball bounced their way. I mean, I think they're probably more like a 12-win team last year. So I still think they're going to be 11 or 12 wins this year. And I think, I mean, again, Lamar Jackson, for whatever has happened in the playoffs and for whatever people think about him and all that stuff.
He wins games.
He's pretty damn good.
What about playoff games?
Right.
He wins games.
Right.
He does. If you're competing with him in the division, I know the Steelers have done well against him. But bottom line is he wins. But, Paul, I would say Patrick Queen was a second-team All-Pro. Stone had 7 interceptions. Zeitler's a good – they lost both their starting guards. They suffered severe losses from last year. They did. They're going to have a rookie right tackle going against TJ?
Yeah.
A second rounder? I don't like that matchup at all because they also traded – what's his name? Morgan Moses to the Jets. They must not have thought highly of him. I think arrow down on the Ravens, but I do agree still good. Is that fair for everybody? Arrow down, still good?
A little bit, but I think they're still good.
Arrow is down, though. Just because I think the division remains very tough, and I think when you're playing in that division, you're going to have some games that are not going to go your way, given their losses. So it'll be a very competitive team and one that could win the division still, but they're not going to be as good.
I'll tell you who I think is the division favorite, and I think the arrow's pointed up, is your Cincinnati Bungles. Let me give you a little background on what's happening there. And this is obviously pending T. Higgins and Trey Hendrickson. I think right. Hendrickson, was he second in the NFL in sacks?
Yes. Second or third. He had like 17.
Higgins was banged up, but he's a good to great player. But here's the deal. Both are still there. Both are healthy. And neither got traded during the draft, which tells me odds are they're both going to be there. They picked up Geno Stone and his 7 interceptions. They picked up Zach Moss. Jury kind of out on him. Gesicki, they got the tight end. If he's healthy, I think is an upgrade for Joe Burrow. Here's the big thing. They got 2 new safeties, Stone, and they brought back Von Bell. And then Joe Burrow healthy. I think the arrow's pointed way up. I think they're the favorite in the division, in my opinion. You guys agree on both of those?
And they also went out and got a tackle in the draft.
They brought in Trent Brown, too.
Right. They got a tackle with their first pick, the kid that everyone thought the Steelers might get, Mims.
Yeah.
Right? They added 2 defensive tackles in the top 3 rounds. They got another receiver, the kid from Alabama, Jermaine Burton. And here's the other thing. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I didn't realize they had 10 picks.
Yeah.
They added 10 players in the draft, and I'm not saying they're all going to be good.
No, but they're pretty pumped about it.
They're going to give them some depth. They needed some help with the defensive line. They got it. They needed some help on the offensive line. They got it. They needed some help at safety. They got it. Yeah, I think they're going to be pretty good, but I still don't think they're the best team in the division.
I think they have the best quarterback. He's the big question with the Bengals in the end. Like, even if all this other crap didn't happen, if you just told me Joe Burrow's going to be healthy, I'd say they got a great shot to win. That was a weird injury, and he's been banged up. He's now missed half a year because of knee surgery. He gets killed on that. He gets sacked a lot and hit a lot. And then last year, that's kind of an odd injury. Like, that reminds me of when a baseball hitter, has one of these weird hand wrist injuries. You just don't know for sure.
Did you see Henry Davis get hit on the right arm?
Yeah.
And yesterday? I wonder about that now.
You just don't know for sure till you see him be himself again, Bob. But Bengals. Arrow pointed up and division favorite or no?
I would say yes and yes. I do, because if Burrow is healthy the whole year and with what he has and how they've improved, I think on defense, and you're right, there are a couple of still question marks out there. They're going to be a very competitive team. I think this division, again, will be one of the best divisions in all of football.
I think that the Bengals will be really good, and it wouldn't shock me, but I don't know that they're the best team in the division.
Yeah. Because you think the Ravens are.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense. I disagree, but, you know, would I be surprised if the Ravens won the division? God, no. They're still very, very talented. They have a couple guys still sort of hiding in the weeds that I wonder if they're going to be really good players, like Owe. He had a little stretch last year. He's looking trending to me to not be that, but maybe. You know what I mean?
How about their speedster running back who got hurt, Mitchell? He's another guy, if you compliment him with Derrick Henry.
Yeah, I mean, if Derrick Henry has a lot left in the tank.
I don't think there's – if you watched him last year, he still does. And he never misses a game.
I think Derrick Henry, the thing with him in that Ravens system, I think is going to be pretty good.
Might be. You know, might, especially in sort of a limited role where he's not taking a huge pounding. But again, they lost both their starting guards. I mean, Zeitler was an absolute road grader. So that could be problematic for the Ravens. All right. Then we get to your Cleve Brownies. They brought in Jerry Jeudy as a weapon. They brought in Jameis Winston as a backup. Their defense is mostly the same, except Jordan Hicks they brought in as kind of a leader type, 10th-year guy. They loved him in Minnesota. Conklin's going to be back at tackle, and he's a great player. But, man, they're the Cleveland Browns. They didn't have a first-round pick for the third straight year because of the Deshaun Watson trade. The third straight year. The last, and I'm looking at the most trustworthy depth chart that I know of, and that's OurLads.com, and they have Devin Bush listed as a starter for the Browns. Paul, they're the Browns. I think the arrow is probably where it was last year. I don't trust that Watson's going to be good. They're not replenishing with high-end talent. They won a bunch of awards last year. Should have won one as the most overrated team and coach in the NFL. I think they're going to finish last in this division, and the arrow is about the same. They could win 8 games, 9 games, whatever.
The Browns?
Yeah.
I don't like – I think, you know, Amari Cooper's getting older. Jerry Jeudy, I don't know if I'm in love with. Nick Chubb is coming off a really brutal injury. Deshaun Watson, I'm not in love with the Browns. I think their defense will be good, but I just think they're going to – I agree with you. They look to me like the same kind of 8-9 win team. You know, maybe they win 9 games. They go 9-8. I'm not in love with anything they really did this offseason. And Joe, to your point, the trade for Deshaun Watson is slowly but surely becoming the worst trade in the history of the NFL.
One of the worst in the history of sports. Now, if he becomes a star, everything changes.
It's different.
But I'm not seeing it.
I'm not seeing it, and it's different if he becomes a star. But think about what they had to do to make that work.
Ugh.
All of the
they just completely mortgaged their future. And it will take – to me, they're going to be the one team that goes backwards big time this year. Controversy at quarterback. I don't believe in their defense, even though I think they have players who are good individual players. I think the Browns will finish last.
So do I.
I mean, if you think about this, So all of the picks they gave up, okay?
But the money.
I think the worst thing that they have going is that they have him for 3 more years at a cap hit of $64 million.
Totally guaranteed.
3 years, $64 million each year.
Right. It limits what you can do. And he's not going to progress. I find it – what I've seen from him is that he'll never recapture what he once had. He just doesn't look like that player. He's lost his confidence.
Yeah, he was a great player. Yeah. He was, and I agree with you, Bob. Something's wrong, and the only little kernel of hope there is when last seen last season, he had this from out of nowhere phenomenal second half against the Ravens. Remember that game?
Yeah. I'm not saying he's incapable of putting a little bit of that together, but overall, he's not going to be their answer quarterback, and they're stuck with him for 3 years, and they're not going to – because of it, they won't make changes there. They can't, so –
I agree wholeheartedly. And thank you for your input, Bob and Paul. So where does that leave the Steelers? In my opinion, I think they're going to fight for a division title if Russell Wilson is good. Doesn't have to be great. Don't know that he's capable of great anymore. But if he's the guy that last year in Denver with a head coach who hated him and an organization that didn't want him anymore and was actively working against him and a not very good team, you give me 20 touchdowns and one pick in the red zone like he had last year, this team is going to win this division. I think they're good enough. You guys?
I do. I think they'll compete. I think they'll be because of they're going to try to simplify things, fundamentally make it a physical game. That should help their quarterback play. And if that occurs, it will also help their defense, which doesn't have to be on the field. If you looked at the first half of last year, guys, their defense was on the field and a whole bunch more than any other. And the longer you're on the field defensively, the worse you're going to get. I don't care how good your talent is. So I think that, you know, two things happen there. They get to possess the ball more. Now, if they can make it stand up in touchdowns and red zone, that's going to be another concerning point. Can they get in there and not settle for Chris Boswell?
Well, that's why I just mentioned that, yeah.
Well, I think the biggest thing is important to remember is the way they're going to play football, they're probably going to minimize mistakes on offense. Now they didn't throw a ton of interceptions last year anyway. You know, they weren't. But I think the way they play football, teams are going to have to beat them. they're not gonna beat themselves. They're gonna be very fundamentally sound, and you know, it's not sexy at all, but it can be very effective. If you're grinding them and running the ball and you're possessing the ball and you're able to physically just pound teams and score a little bit in the fourth quarter, it's not fun to watch all the time, but I think they can win 11, 12 games playing that way, provided, and there's a big provided, that Russell Wilson isn't finished. If he's not finished, if he's, you know, even what he did last year.
Yeah.
Then I think they have a chance to win the division. I would agree with you on that, because I think the way that they play, they're going to play football, they want to play football, enables them to minimize their mistakes and force teams to beat them.
Having said all of that, I'm not predicting them to win the division. Here's what now we have a draft and pretty much a whole offseason under our belts, the major moves, mm-hmm. you would think. There's a few coming still. Maybe some in Cincy. But I don't think so. I think Higgins has said he wants to be there, and I think Hendrickson will be there for at least another year, and they'll get one of those guys long term. I'm predicting Cincy 1, Steelers 2, Baltimore 3, Cleveland 4. The top three make the playoffs. Bob?
Same order. I'm going to do that, but not the top three. I think there's going to be more balance and better teams throughout the AFC this year.
Mm.
And as a result of that, I think two teams will make. The division winner and one wild card will come from the AFC North.
Paul?
I think the AFC North will have a winner, obviously the winner and a wild card.
Predict the order in the North.
I will predict Ravens 1, Bengals 2, Steelers 3, and Browns 4. That being said, I could see the Steelers winning it. I could see the Bengals winning it. The only team I could not see winning it is the Browns. I think the Browns are clearly in last place.
The stunning thing for me last year is the Steelers go 5-1 in the division, which is what I thought.
I
thought if you told me that at the beginning, that means you're going to win the division, period.
4-1-2. Go ahead, Bob.
No, I was shocked. You know, it never works the way you think. You know, 5-1.
That was crazy to go 5-1. They've played well in the division, but not well enough outside for sure. 412-928-9370. 928-9370. Bob has a showdown at the top of the hour. In the meantime, South Hills Kia fan Twitter, Peters Township, visit them at southhillskia.net. Coming up next, let's take a look at the draft at large. I was out on a couple different golf courses this weekend, and the first thing people wanted to talk about, even with the Steelers draft, was Michael Penix going to the Falcons. Let's talk about this, get our opinions. Bill Belichick showing a different side as an analyst. We have a tape we want to play as some audio, I should say a clip. It's really good. Edgar Snyder and Associates fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And right now it's 11:34, time to stop blindly paying those increasing auto and home insurance premiums. Contact the Buell Insurance Agency in Gibsonia and see what they can do for you. And check this out. The Fan and the Pirates want to visit your teams in action for our youth baseball and softball showcase. Parents, coaches, email us at usports@937thefan.com to register your 12 and under team, and the Fan might make a stop to your field. Details at 937thefan.com. Century 21 Fairways Real Estate. Well, this would be nice, but there's nobody here, which is interesting. I saw Bob in the hallway, and here's Paul. I don't know what Bob was doing. He was making the rounds. He's unbelievable, this guy. I wouldn't be surprised if Bob, and I mean this, he's a wonderful man, but if he ran for mayor of Pittsburgh, I think he would win. Do you believe that, Paul?
He's very popular, for sure.
Did you just see him in the hallway?
Yeah, he was, yes, he was in the...
Is he coming back?
He was in the facility, the little boys' facility over there.
Oh.
So, yeah, I think he might be able to win.
Yeah. Here he is.
There he is. Welcome
now
back.
Now he's mad. Now he's mad at me. There's no reason to be. I think Bob is extra mad at me this week.
You know,
and
you
I haven't
don't
done
have
anything
to constantly
wrong.
Point out.
See what I mean?
You don't.
There's
just carry on the conversation.
Bob, the show came back and nobody was
and
in
you
the
know
room
what?
Except for me.
This has happened to you before when I've been left. It's not even the Bob show. It's the Joe show. And Bob had to talk while Joe was out doing whatever you do. And I don't say, Joe's not here. Where's Joe?
Do you sense an undercurrent of anger from Bob
yes,
this week?
There's a little bit of anger here.
I sense
I don't
that.
Know why.
No, I just.
What does it stem back to? It stems back to that.
He's still upset about that.
You yes. will never. Anyone who tunes in on a Saturday will never hear that again because I have it all insulated
Bob,
so that you will never get through.
I have a plan in place. This is like Shawshank Redemption.
It's not
going like
to work.
The odds are not good, but
so
I'm
you're
going to
wait
get
till
in.
The year 2026 after chipping away day after day after day at my
might.
Insecurity about you getting on my show? Okay. We'll
I might.
See.
I might get in there.
No, you're not going to get
now
in.
Now it's a challenge.
You're not getting
now
in.
Now it's
period.
A challenge.
You are not.
What You'll a see. Nice man he is, huh, Paul?
Yes.
Bob, I just got freed up for golf today.
I gave you a nice destination, didn't I? Because
call
it's good.
Sick.
It's still yeah. very good pricing for now.
Call in sick.
I can't.
Call in sick. Us three will go straight from there. You don't sound well at all. You sound horrible.
Yeah. What we were going to talk about.
Michael Penix.
The Michael Penix draft.
Crazy.
What did we make
crazy.
Of this?
Crazy. Of all the people, like, you just signed Kirk Cousins. And if you want to, I don't even know if this is a succession plan already. If you're going to do it with a 20-year-old J.J. McCarthy, not a, how old is Michael Penix? He's older. He's been there for like 5 years, right? 24?
He's older than Ron and Kenny Pickett combined.
Yeah, so my point is I don't dislike the player. I'm just surprised that the 8th overall pick you would take that player then. I thought you could do it in the second round, and they have a lot of Atlanta 7-10 straight 3 years in a row. They need help at a lot of positions.
This made no sense at all. They just spent $100 million on a quarterback. What are you doing? They're finally ready to win, maybe, in Atlanta. With that, what was it, the 8th pick?
8th pick. And last year, the 8th pick, or 7th, they had Bijan Robinson, which I was surprised by that pick, too. Just
and
because a running back
right.
in, you know, at that position.
He didn't turn out to be that kind of guy.
Yeah.
What are they doing? What are they doing? Did you agree with this, Paul?
Well, you know, what's funny is the longer we went, the more then all of a sudden some of these analysts who can never be critical and some of these national types began to try and justify and explain why this happened.
And what was their conclusion? Because there's no
good
reason.
It's the Green Bay model, you know, going from Favre to Rodgers to...
Again, Jordan Love was 20, wasn't he?
He was young, yes. But going from Favre to Rodgers to Jordan Love. Like, they have all of their back.
Yeah, and they made Rodgers sit for, 3 years?
Yeah, but, or whatever.
Love sat for 2 years plus.
Yeah, okay. Know. All right. So I'll come back here in a couple of years and give them all credit if they were right. But right now it looks just flat out stupid. Plus, Green Bay has a pretty good franchise history, last I checked, right?
Yeah.
How's Atlanta's going?
Well, the other part of it is, I mean, they gave $100 million guaranteed to Kirk Cousins. That's a far more troublesome move than drafting Michael Penix Jr. Because, I mean, we've talked about Kirk Cousins. He's been in the league 12 years now. He's got one playoff win.
Was Atlanta in the 8th hole the whole time?
Yes.
They were batting 8th,
yes.
Right? Okay.
I think so, yeah. The only team that traded up was Minnesota by one spot to get
J.J.
McCarthy.
So if they love Michael Penix this much, why not just draft him and make him your guy and bring in somebody else for a year? If you don't think that that's the key. You know what I mean? If you love him that much and you have the 8th pick, he's, what'd you say, 23 years old?
24.
Then use that $100 million on something else and bring him in and make him your guy then. What are they doing?
Yeah, Arthur Blank had a blank look on his face.
I just don't, I don't get it. I really don't. I just, when I saw that the pick, you know, it felt like to me there was basically, they have so many other needs.
Yeah.
Why do that?
What else stood out about the draft for you guys? How about Spencer Rattler to the Saints? Did you like that? Bo Nix to the Broncos?
I'll tell you, I like Jordan Travis for the same reason we're talking about Atlanta to the Jets to eventually be maybe the guy after Aaron Rodgers. Jordan Travis is worth that take wherever they got him.
I like that, yeah.
Because he's not going to play this year. They know that, but he's going to heal up. And if he's the talent that you saw at FSU, then he could likely be the guy next. So that was a smart pick. And if...
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, if you're Atlanta, you could have taken him later, too, if you wanted a successor. You don't need eighth overall pick.
5 seasons from now. So 24, 25, 26, 27. The 2028 season. How many of the 6 quarterbacks taken in the first 12 picks will still be starting for the team that drafted them?
Man, if you asked this a couple of years ago and I said none, I would have been right. The odds tell me 2 or 1.
Yeah. Which ones, though? See, I think Caleb Williams is going to be not a good player. I do. I don't like what I saw at the end of his career at USC. There's an awful lot of pressure on him. He seems different in a way of handling this kind of stuff. He's got everything around him that should make him successful.
Yeah, but he's also going to a place where quarterbacks go to wilt.
But did you see his last several games at USC against good competition? And Notre Dame made him look silly, I thought. And others did, too. He didn't win. So, I don't know, Paul. I just, of all the people there, there's no sure pick. But to me, Jaden Daniels was going to be the guy I would have. If I'm going to pick one overall and I have a quarterback in sight, he would have been my pick.
Yeah, I mean, I would have picked him, too, just because I feel like he's got the upside. But I've been on the record, and again, I could be really wrong. I've been on the record saying I don't like any of these guys. I don't like any of these guys.
How about Bo Nix going 12th? Did you see the story behind that, too, where they gave him, you know, part of a playbook the night before, and then Sean Payton went in the next morning. They had a workout, and he was lights out good, which is it's an interesting story. I'm just not sure he's very good.
Yeah, I don't think he – I mean, I don't like him. I think Penix Jr. is just going to be okay whenever he actually gets to play. I'm not a fan of Williams. I think Drake May is extremely overrated. I'm not in love with any of these guys.
Should the Steelers have taken Nate Wiggins first in the draft? You guys had a choice between.
No, I still like what they did. I do.
Who would you have taken? I like the pick they made.
Yeah, I do. I don't.
I was on the record before the thing saying they need to get a tackle. So. I like the pick they made, for sure.
And then the Chiefs, how about this story? How about Buffalo trading out of the first round, and the one team they can't beat is the Chiefs. The Chiefs jump into their spot and pick the fastest guy in the draft.
I know, like that's fair.
Well, what are they doing, Bob?
I don't know. They got rid of a lot of guys, too. I don't know what they're doing. If you didn't know better, you would have thought it was some sort of a rebuild in Buffalo.
But it's one thing to trade out of the first round. And I know there are tons of receivers. It's another to basically call up the Chiefs and say, hey, could we speak to Patrick? Hey, Patrick, would you like the fastest guy in the draft? It's Buffalo on the line. Here, have him.
Actually, he's not the fastest guy on their team, though. It's Rashid Rice at 119 miles an hour.
Yeah, in his car. Mm. But I think the big thing is with that, Joe, I expected more from the Bills. Like, they drafted back. They traded back. I assumed they were putting together picks to get a package together to go get somebody like Brandon Ayuk or
maybe
Deebo
they still
Samuels.
Will, I hope, because this is not it. This is not it to put the Chiefs in better position and yourselves in worse position. I don't get it. But as long as they have that guy playing quarterback, the Bills, they're going to have a chance. And that's why all of this talk that we're doing today from the very beginning, we love the Steelers draft. We do. None of it matters if you don't have the right guy at quarterback. And if the other,
it's absolutely true. It's absolutely true.
Whatever was the problem or has been the problem remains so unless Wilson is at least good. And maybe even if he is, by the way. And the problem, put in the simplest terms, the problem for years now and years ahead is if you don't have that guy, Burrow, even Lamar, playoffs or otherwise, Mahomes, Allen, Herbert, in the AFC, then what do you have?
That's the problem. You got to be able to compete with those quarterbacks.
And you can have a decent quarterback, but you better have a whole bunch around him then. You know, when Garoppolo got the 49ers to a Super Bowl, he had a really good team around him, and he was okay, but he wasn't going to be the guy who's going to win it for you, I don't think. So, unless you have, and the Steelers give them credit, they have a lot of things on offense. They still need another good receiver, I think, but they have things that can make any quarterback better, especially one who's as savvy, you would think, as Russell Wilson is. So if he just does his part, doesn't make mistakes, finds guys, good decision-making, they could be a really efficient offense.
But yeah. Efficient, yeah, I agree with that, but efficient, just efficient's not what you're dealing with.
In the way that they, the way
in this arms race.
Well, what do you look at Russell Wilson as? I think if he's an efficient guy who had the same numbers as he had last year in Denver, you'd like that, right?
Yeah.
26 touchdowns, 10 interceptions.
But again, here's the thing, Joe. If he's 26 touchdowns and 8 or 9 interceptions, and he has three quarters of the passing attempts of Josh Allen and Mahomes, and you know what I mean? Like, he's obviously not going to throw as much as those guys. If he's throwing basically to make chunk plays for the most part, you can be efficient and win. You know, if your passing plays are turning into touchdowns or really big plays, and you're running the ball efficiently, that's a formula to win. Now, can you win in the playoffs? I don't know. I mean, I get what the Chiefs did this year. I look at what the Chiefs did this year, and clearly they have Patrick Mahomes. I mean, let's face it. But they won a lot with their running game and defense.
I know, but now he's got Rashee Rice,
right,
pending his legal problems, started to become a star late last season, and now they got this kid.
If you have a great quarterback, you can make players look a lot better than maybe they even are.
I think they might do the three-peat. I really do. And they brought back Chris Jones. Whatever happened with Snead? I can't remember.
He went to Tennessee, was it? They made it.
That's right.
Yeah. I think it's Tennessee. 50. I would have liked him here if they could figure out a way to do that.
I think they could have probably made that work, honestly. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. The Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Bob has a showdown coming up next. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet Springs. Here, so are the deals at Sun Chevy. SunChevy.com. Sunny throughout the day with a high of 54. I want to tell you about Gina Giampietro. And Michelle needed to sell her home in Mount Lebanon. Was referred to Gina by her cousin. Gina met with Michelle, gave her some recommendations, what she needed to do to get the home ready for the market, and what she could expect to happen during the process of selling her home. Like a good coach, had her prepared for the game. Gina went right to work for Michelle, got her a full price offer for her home within 48 hours. Michelle said Gina absolutely knows every aspect of the business, is no nonsense about it, and gets the job done. Listen, you can't lose. Call the only agent I would trust if I needed to sell my home in Pittsburgh, Gina Giampietro of RE/MAX Select Realty. She'll sit down with you. You agree on a price and a deadline. Deadline passes. Home isn't sold. Gina will have it bought and turned into a rental. So give her a call, 724-602-9752. Google Giampietro of RE/MAX Select Realty and look up GinaWillSellYourHome.com. That's GinaWillSellYourHome.com.